T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Obviously, we want to wish the Bruins well in their Stanley Cup final. This will be a great opportunity for them, and we'll be here cheering them on.
Dale Arnold.
I'm not going to train mentally for practice season.
We're talking about practice.
That's how I train. It's practice.
Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Rich Key.
KD and I have texted.
I get text messages all the time.
We've texted for 2-3 hours straight. Players, coaches, owners, text me.
Dale and Keith.
My single greatest fear from the Bruins' perspective.
Spiders.
Yeah. Snakes, it may be even more.
So, snakes are much worse than spiders.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
We're talking about practice. A practice that, you know, put 16, 17,000 people in.
It was a sellout.
$20 a head.
Free popcorn for the kids, Dale. What a night.
I saw a lot of people on social media who were saying how thankful they were. And a dear friend of mine, was there with her son. And, you know, they could go see a game. They could afford
to, sort of a game.
My point is they could afford to go see the Bruins.
It was
Have a great time. And he's got his Bruins stuff on, and, you know, he's eating his popcorn. And, you know, as far as he's concerned, it was a great night.
People are excited. People were fired up. They wanted to go down there. They wanted to cheer on their team. It was much lower energy than I thought, based off of the few videos that I saw and I guess, quote, highlights of the event. I didn't go, but from the stuff that I did see, I thought it was going to be a little bit more intense than it was.
They certainly weren't going to do anything stupid. And at one point, Brad Marchand sort of jammed his hand. Connor Clifton.
Yeah.
Nothing huge. They just collided. He jammed his hand, went to the bench, and he was kind of, you know, messing around with his hand. And I'm thinking, oh, no, don't let this happen.
This is not good.
And he was fine.
Right. And I was going to say, Jason Rossi would have won that one. If you have one of your best players get hurt in a scrimmage in front of a live crowd, that maybe that wasn't the right move. I ultimately think it was fine. Like, it's odd, but so is 11 days off, right? You have to do something. And I'll tell you what, as an ice expert, I'm a big ice guy now.
And we go to you.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about the ice and what, you know, fair or unfair, the Bruins have bad ice in the league, or some of the playoff games have had bad ice. You need to skate on that ice, Dale. Let me tell you, you gotta skate on there. You can't just be here at the sweet practice facility right across the street from us. You got to get out there and use the ice. So this actually could kind of help the playing surface come game one on Monday.
While he is certainly not the ice expert that you are, and no one could be.
No, right.
But Barry Peterson has said on a number of occasions they don't skate on the Garden ice enough.
Yeah, so me and Barry are eye to eye
on this. And he said at the very least they should be doing morning skates there. And, you know, they've got their morning skate. They've got the Taj Mahal of practice facilities over here.
Yeah.
They love everything about it. They've got their chef there. They've got kitchens. They've got everything.
Ping pong.
The whole works.
You name it.
But it would probably help them during the course of a season if they could skate on that ice more.
Yeah, get over there a little bit. So maybe that kind of helps. You know, and again, it's a weird thing. And, you know, Columbus did this too. Now, I don't know what the deal was. I don't know if they, like, sold out or whatever. I'm not sure about...
I don't know how they handled it.
Tortorella did talk about that. He's like, we had to recreate it because it's just such a long layoff. Like, on the one hand, you want these guys to rest. You want these guys to, you know, try to recover the best they can for the next series. But 11 days off, especially when you went from the Toronto series to the Columbus series, they had one day off. Like, there was more rest days within that series than there was in between the series. And now you have to prepare for this. So it's a little bit different. So I don't mind the outside the box thinking. I don't think it's going to necessarily really help them, but I don't see how it could be a bad thing either.
It was one of those things where they're trying to figure out this whole long period of time. Neither coach wanted to talk about it, but apparently Bruce Cassidy did reach out to Bill Belichick because they've always got a bye week stuck in there before the division round or before the Super Bowl. You know, they've got extra time. They've got a plan around. I think he also reached out to Brad Stevens, and I think he reached out to Alex Cora. There's kind of a little community head coaches, managers in this town, and they're all happy to talk to him about it.
If Belichick held a scrimmage at Gillette, I think that would sell out too. Like a Patriot scrimmage, do you think they'd bang that thing out?
Oh, God, yes. I mean, look at training camp. Look what training camp practices are like all the time.
Now, do you think Tuukka Rask, who only played one of the two periods last night, do you think he got dented? Tortorella's words. he allowed a goal to Peter Solarik.
They pulled him out, you know.
Peter Solarik scored a goal against him.
Hey.
In front of a live crowd.
He's a major league caliber player, Rich.
Is he?
Well,
no.
He has played for the Bruins a few times this year.
So Peter Solarik and David Backes both scored goals against Tuukka Rask last night. Do you think he's feeling all right?
I think he's fine.
Okay. I hope so. That's not ideal.
Let's listen to how Rask referred to what happened last night.
Once you go, you know, whatever, 10 days from no playing, I think it's good to get a little action in and kind of get used to that pace. I'm not going to drain mentally for practices. You know, it's practice. That's how I treat it. It's practice.
It's practice.
It's practice.
And last night was
practice. I mean, you don't practice in front of 16,000, do you?
Yeah.
How often do you do that?
I'm not even sure that was the original plan.
No, it doesn't sound like it was.
You get the feeling listening to Bruce Cassidy. Yeah. Well, in fact, Cassidy said maybe what you saw last night wasn't the way they originally drew this up.
The original plan, it's kind of gone a little bit now bigger than maybe we first envisioned, but here we are. So we're not going to do every detail. If we score a goal, I don't know if we're going to hear... I don't know if we'll hear that. That's, you got to talk to these guys about that. But at the end of the day, that it's, you know, more about the player's routine than every detail of the actual game.
Yeah. But, see, his original plan was we're going to bring him into the morning. We're going to do a game day skate.
This is what they should have played.
Well,
yes, this was an opportunity to finally publicly unveil Bear Force One, and they blew it.
I don't think they're as cranked up about Bear Force One as you are.
That's on them.
No one could be.
That's on them. Yeah. That's a good time. But yeah, so the plan was to be at the Garden. It just wasn't right, but it just wasn't going to be in front of.
Right.
They were going to sell tickets to this thing.
They were going
to
go through a morning skate, go home, get your nap, get your chicken, whatever it is you do for a game, come back in. We'll scrimmage at night as if it was a game time. And then I think that the Bruins, somewhere within the organization, they said, well, wait a minute.
It is a little silly, isn't it? Like, ultimately, it's a little silly. Again, you got to think outside the box because this is a different kind of scenario. You know, so many days off in between. What do you do? I think no matter what, even with last night, the first period, they could be a little bit sluggish. Now, the good news is they're at home. And when
that
we saw,
hopefully will help.
Carolina had a long layoff and so did Columbus, and they had to play game one on the road, and I think you could see that effect. I think the Bruins fans, as proven out by all the people showing up last night, they're going to be out of their minds on Monday night. End of a long weekend, they're going to be drunk out of their skates. I mean, it is going to be one hell of a time. It's going to be super loud in there. The 8 o'clock start. Even if they do get off to a slow start, I think they're going to be able to quickly turn around because of the home crowd.
And it's not the same length of time, but St. Louis will have been off longer than they're used to. They will have been off for 5 days when they skate again on Monday. And I know that's not the same as 10, but it's
an awkward amount of time.
Yes.
You know, you can't hold a scrimmage, Dale, if you're St. Louis. You don't have enough time to bang out
get everybody
the building.
In the building.
Nah, you can't do that. But it's definitely more time off than you're used to. So, you know, do you hold a hard practice? Do you not? Do you have 4 or 5 days where there's not a lot of physicality? I mean, it's a tricky thing for them as well.
I think it was more routine than anything else. And in Bruce Cassidy's original plan, it was just going to be, they were going to be out there in an empty building doing what they do, but they would have been in a game day routine. Look, whoever in the organization who decided, let's do this, I don't mind it. And as you said, it's outside the box.
Yeah.
It's different, but I didn't really, I can tell you this. The sold-out crowd that was at the Garden last night didn't mind it at all.
No, they loved it. They had a really good time. Popcorn
they
for
did
all
the
kids.
Wave.
They did. Really?
They did.
No, they were bored.
But as
that
I,
sounds like they were bored.
As former colleague Ty Anderson tweeted last night, you pay $20 to watch a practice. You can do the wave. You can do you can do anything you want.
Was there a Bear Force One chant at any point?
I don't think.
Everybody chanting Bear Force One? Bear Force One? No.
Not from any
seems
of
like
the
a letdown.
Stop,
seems like
stop
a bit of a
trying
letdown.
To make Bear Force One happen.
I won't. No, I won't. We have at least 4 more games to get this thing going. Minimum 4 more games. Well, 2 home games. They probably only have 2 home games left. So you're going to want to make sure you go Monday and Wednesday.
So you're predicting the Blues are going to sweep?
I am not. I think I might go the other way.
We will be getting that.
Don't rush me, Jason.
We got 4 hours to go here for crying out loud.
This guy's already trying to...
It's Friday of a long weekend. We're all tapped out.
It's a false count anywhere Friday, Jason. It's going to be a lot of Bruins talk today, but really anything goes on a false count anywhere Friday. I could pin you in the hallway, which I might. First commercial break.
After we do an Oklahoma drill.
Oklahoma drill has not been ruled out at WEEI. We'll line them up. Is Wiggy still here? Fourier, get these guys in here? I bet they're both real good at the Oklahoma drill. Those guys are no joke.
I'd probably take Wiggy in that, though.
You think so?
Fourier, just...
You have a low center of gravity?
Oh, no. Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding.
Of those two? No, I...
Wiggy's a bull.
Wiggy seems more bullish, and I think...
Oh, I thought you meant you personally could take Wiggy. I thought that's...
No.
Oh, I got you.
If I had a pick between the
confident.
Very overconfident. No, he was talking about a Wiggy-Fourier combination.
I bet Fourier is sneaky stronger than Wiggy.
And quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when it comes to just being on the ground, getting up real quick and running at each other, I don't know. Yeah. Wiggy just seems like a lower center. You know, his gravity, he's a bigger dude.
He is a big dude. Wiggy versus Bradford, we know how that already went. We don't need to relive that. But yeah, that's...
If you had to pick between the two, who would you want to go against?
Me against Fourier or Wiggy in the Oklahoma drill?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It'd be the same result.
You'd probably pick Fourier.
I'd pancake either one. Doesn't really matter.
Okay. Yeah.
I've been working with the karate coach they have with the Patriots.
Have you?
I've been working with him on some swim techniques.
Speaking of overconfident.
Yeah, I've been working with that guy.
Have right at it.
Yeah.
I mean, when Christian comes in here this afternoon, you got time between shows.
I'll wrestle.
He'll probably do the cross. We could just do it on
he
the air.
He probably will do the cross.
Yeah, he'll be real happy
about
that.
The money is pouring in on him doing the cross
again. 3 weeks into the cross, it's already a bad idea for a lot of folks.
Glenn and Lou have been sitting out of the cross, so stay tuned.
They've been busy. They've got other things to go.
Is that right?
I don't know.
You can't think of anything, but they might.
Not off the top of my head. So here's what we're going to do today. It is, as Rich told you, a Falls Count Anywhere Friday, which means we're happy to discuss anything. We've got a few things we're going to bring up as well.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff O'Neill, at odog9 on Twitter.
I like Jeff O'Neill.
We had
him on earlier.
We had him on real early in the playoffs. Very funny. He sort of says bad things about Andrew Raycroft. When I'm texting him. Hey, Jeff, can you... happy to talk to... And then he...
You can't say some of the stuff that he said about...
He says, and tell Andrew...
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you can't do that. But he's very good. And I'm interested to get a little bit more info on the Blues, right? I've seen every second of the Bruins in the playoffs. I have not seen every second of the Blues. So hopefully he can help us out with that.
He will. And he'll be great. Now at 12:30 today, we've got our week in review.
A lot of good stuff from the week.
So we've got some stuff there. Yep. And I have... prepared something for you.
You prepared? You did homework, Dale?
I have prepared.
Look at this.
I've got in my hand the top 10 reasons.
10 reasons?
Why I think the Bruins are going to win the Stanley Cup.
Okay.
Now, spoiler alert.
You think the Bruins are going to win the Stanley Cup,
I picked them before the playoffs started, so I'm not...
True.
I'm not backing off of that.
And
that
based
prediction.
On the road ahead of them, you could really only get more and more confident as we've gone.
I feel fairly confident, yes. Yeah. But I do have in my hand the top 10 reasons.
Ooh. Are you going to go in ascending or descending order?
I'm going to go in descending.
Okay. Wait, what?
I don't know.
No, I don't know if that's right.
I'm going from 10 to 1.
Start at
10.
Start at 10. Start at 10.
I'm going from 10 to 1. All right. Okay. And number 10.
Yeah. Number 10. I'll do the numbers.
Thanks.
It's a little production on the fly here, Dale. Ready?
Values are...
Number 10.
Really strong.
Yeah,
the,
thank you.
Number 10 is passion.
Passion?
As you saw last night, as you had an idea of what it's like in this city. No disrespect to the nice sports fans of St. Louis, but we've dealt with them in the past. It is not quite the same passionate fan base. Now, I'm sure they want to win.
They love everybody, though.
They do.
They support everybody. They're the typical happy-go-lucky Midwesterners. Everybody did a great job. Participation trophies. Just as long as you're trying, we're on board. If we win, that's nice. If we don't, okay. At least we got
the
play.
Good job, you guys.
Yeah.
Well done.
No, thanks.
I will never forget when the Red Sox clinched the World Series in St. Louis.
Yes.
And, you know, it was kind of one-sided. You kind of knew what was going to happen. And then the late innings, security, there was a bunch of Red Sox fans who were outside the stadium.
Okay,
They didn't have tickets. They were outside the stadium. And security opened the gates and said, come on, you guys come on in. You need to be in here to see this. Come on, you guys come on.
Would they do that in Philly, you think?
Or Fenway?
Or Boston?
Yeah,
right, exactly.
No,
they wouldn't. It's a weird thing. And they've had bad luck, let's say, St. Louis franchises against Boston in these major events. So passion.
So number 10 is passion.
All right. Number 9.
How?
I'm doing the numbers. What's wrong with that?
I like it. Number 9. The Bruins have a decided speed advantage, especially on defense.
Mm.
You look at Charlie McAvoy, Torrey Krug, Matt Grzelcyk, Connor Clifton. Very quick.
You're leaving out a guy.
Well, I'm saying those guys.
I'm leaving
out, you know, a couple of guys. Brandon Carlo's not the quickest guy in the world either.
Right.
But those four guys are really quick.
Yeah.
The Bruins have a decided speed advantage on the defensive side. You know, those what we like to call the one-man breakouts, you know, where all of a sudden you got Charlie McAvoy shirt-flapping Charlie just lugging it out of the zone right. on his own, that right. sort of thing.
Now, they St. Louis just beat a pretty quick team. However, they had so many injuries.
Right.
Right, like San Jose would have been, it would have been a more impressive series victory to me and to everybody had they had all their guys and had Carlson been full go the whole series. Then you could say, you know what, they really can combat a quick, fast team, but I think the Bruins are going to present different challenges. So I'm with you. The quickness advantage, definitely Bruins.
Hit it again.
Number 8.
Oh, did like you that. Get bumped already?
Yeah, we got a better guy doing it. Yeah, we got a better guy.
I kind of like that's yours, fine. To
that's
be honest
that's
with
not
you.
Bad. Okay. He does them different. You're going to like this.
Bruce Cassidy calls the St. Louis Blues their twin. Pete DeBoer, the coach of the San Jose Sharks, says these are the two heaviest teams in the NHL. The Bruins come into this series with 19 different goal scorers. The Blues have 18 different goal scorers. My point is, there is nothing the St. Louis Blues can bring to the table that Bruce Cassidy isn't ready for. He coaches this team every single day.
Right.
He says they're really our twin. What we do, they do. So Bruce Cassidy, and we'll get to the coaching situation later on in this list, I think he's going to be totally prepared for what the Blues bring because he says they're basically us.
They're very, and I think he's obviously going to be very complimentary. You would be going into the series, but I don't need to be as complimentary. I could say the Blues are the JV version of the Bruins.
Yes.
I think across the board, they kind of are that. Now, again, they've won 3 rounds, so you have to give them credit for that. They've come out of the Western Conference, so you know that's all well and good. But when you look across the board, and I'm sure there's going to be some of the other ones that are on your list, the Bruins have the advantages. I think... Well, I know that St. Louis is better than Carolina. Like, you look at their roster side by side, it's significantly better than Carolina. So this will be a tougher test than that. However, the Bruins definitely have the advantage almost everywhere.
Number seven.
Oh,
thank you.
Yeah, we got you covered, Dale.
Sorry, I got carried away. Number 7 is the Boston trifecta. It could have been the Boston Slam, but
don't get me started on the Slam.
So the Boston trifecta,
Kyrie,
it is something these players think about, talk about.
Interesting.
It matters. They know that the Red Sox are the World Series champions and that the Patriots are the Super Bowl champions. They would very much like to become the third championship in this city and become the first city in since 1938, I think it was, to have 3 titles in the same city at the same time.
It is absolutely outrageous that this is what we're talking about, right? That they could win 3, the city of Boston could win 3 in the same year. And we know all 4 teams have been really competitive, and it's overwhelming the number of playoff games and championship appearances and championships that they have. But for it to all line up this year is really unbelievable. And again, is just driving the stake in the heart of the Boston Celtics after they get bounced in the second round, lose 4 straight to Milwaukee. And meanwhile, the team you share a building with is on their way to winning the cup.
Number 6.
All right, the Bruins have already beaten Toronto, a faster team.
Yes.
They've already beaten Columbus, supposedly a bigger and stronger team. St. Louis is not as big as Columbus, not as fast as Toronto, and the Bruins have already beaten those 2 teams. Now, as you said, St. Louis is certainly a more qualified opponent than the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, for sure.
They're in the Stanley Cup final for a reason. But whatever they've got, the Bruins have faced and beaten already because, as I said, this team is not as fast as Toronto.
Right.
And they're not as big and as strong as Columbus.
Now, would they almost be a combination of those 2 teams? And I agree with you. They're not as fast as Toronto, but they're faster than Columbus. And they're not as strong as Columbus, but stronger than Toronto. It's almost like a blend of the 2 in a way. And I would also say their goalie, well, I'm sure you'll get to that as well, but I just think that this team... I'm with you. They could have faced a much tougher team in the Cup final. That's for sure.
Number 5.
Wow. He made a meal out of that one.
he kind of did. He really sort of danced all over the grave of that.
Well, well done.
The third line matchup in this series, the Bruins' third line is Marcus Johansson, Charlie Coyle, Danton Heinen. It has secretly, quietly become arguably the most important line the Bruins have this year. In the playoffs, I mean.
Yes.
The St. Louis third line is Patrick Maroon, Tyler Bozak, and Robert Thomas.
Not good enough.
I think the Bruins have a decided advantage in the matchup of the team's third lines. And the thing to keep in mind about these third lines is that they're also seeing second and third defense pairs. They're not having to go out there against, you know, Alex Pietrangelo.
Right.
they're seeing other guys, and I think that the Bruins have a big advantage in the matchup of these two teams' third lines.
It just goes back to Don Sweeney at the trade deadline, knowing that they needed to address the third line, and he made two moves and got it done. Now, they didn't play a ton together during the regular season because of some of the injuries and things going on, but once they got these guys together in the playoffs, and even then, Johansson missed a couple of games early on, but he has been really good, and Charlie Coyle has been significantly better in the playoffs than he was in the regular season.
Number 4.
He's sort of losing steam.
I think he might be a little bit.
Maybe
yeah.
Sort of wearing out
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I know.
The matchup of these two teams' second lines. Now, the Bruins' second line is Jake DeBrusk, David Krejci, and David Backes. You've got the emotional lift that Backes should be getting, playing against the team that drafted him, that he grew up with. He was the captain there for 6 years. As he said, he and Alex Pietrangelo been friends.
Yeah.
They aren't friends for the next 3 weeks. They'll try to make it up, you know, later on.
Did you see Pietrangelo said he texted Backes and he didn't respond?
He said, I guess it's on.
Yes, it's begun.
So the second line for the St. Louis Blues is Sammy Blaze, Ryan O'Reilly, and David Perron. I'm a big Ryan O'Reilly fan, by the
way. He's very good.
I like him a lot.
He's a JV Bergeron.
He was their most... Well, and he's a Selke Trophy finalist,
he's good.
The way
he's
Bergeron
good. Yeah.
is.
Yeah.
He's great in the faceoff circle, the way Bergeron is. He's not as good as Bergeron, but he's good. He's really good.
Yeah, yeah.
I like this line a lot. The key for this matchup for me is Jake DeBrusk. DeBrusk has had opportunities and has not yet capitalized on them. He has to be the offensive force that we've seen him in the past. If DeBrusk does what I think he can do, the Bruins win the second line matchup as well. And I'm going to say the first lines are going to negate each other.
Yeah.
You know, you've got their top line and your
Bruins,
top line.
But you're right. Even if that is a wash, you look at the other lines. And I think Jake DeBrusk certainly has been one of those guys. Out of everybody you're looking at, you're expecting more from him.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
And so DeBrusk is the key there. If he does what I think David Krejci is going to help him do, Bruins win that matchup as well.
Number 3,
coaching.
Is it a question?
Yeah, I mean, yes.
You're the one counting. It is number 3. Okay, coaching.
Coaching. And Craig Berube's done a remarkable job since replacing Mike Yeo as the head coach of the St. Louis Blues. He gave them structure. He gave them, you know, some semblance of a system, which, quite honestly, they were playing without. He made the goaltending change from Allen to Binnington, and the rest is history here. But if I'm looking at it realistically, the Bruins have the advantage in the coaching matchup. Bruce Cassidy in his career, regular season is 117, 52, and 22.
Crazy.
Which means 67% of the points available his team has gotten.
That's amazing. Yeah, he's had an unbelievable run.
Craig Berube is 113, 77, and 34. Cassidy's 19 and 18 in the playoffs. Berube is now 15 and 11. But overall, I think Cassidy gets the coaching advantage. I think the Bruins get the check mark in that box, and I think that helps them along the way as well.
Yeah, hard to argue. Either way, you have two coaches with not a ton of experience that one of them is going to be a cup champion. Cassidy, though, has this edge. Unlike, you know, against Mike Babcock in the first round, when you look at an experience, Cassidy actually has the check mark here.
We got two to go. We'll bring them to you in just a couple of minutes. We'll get to your calls as well. But first, Dale and Keith have got a trend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bruins sweep the Canes and are headed to the Stanley Cup Final. React and talk about it right here. Now back to Dale and Keith on Boston Sports Station. WEEI.
We're running through what are my top 10 reasons why the Bruins will win the Stanley Cup. And we've only got two left, so let's get to those two right now.
Number 2.
Messed him up for a minute there, didn't
That's
I?
That's all right.
Pulled a dirty trick on him,
yep,
dropped the
puck. Thought maybe you're going back to 12 or something. But no, we're going number 2. Here we go.
Number 2, and this is probably the biggest mismatch in this series.
Ooh.
Special teams.
Nice.
It is a huge difference. Now, The Bruins have been successful 34% of the time on the power play through the first three rounds. Against Carolina, their power play was successful 46.7% of the time.
Jeez.
Their penalty kill has been really good as well. Against Carolina, their penalty kill was successful 92.8% of the time against the Carolina Hurricanes. The fact of the matter is the Bruins come into this Stanley Cup final with the number one power play in the NHL in the playoffs at 34%, the number four penalty kill at 86.3%. St. Louis's special teams have been very pedestrian. They come into the Stanley Cup final. Their power play has been successful 19.4% of the time. That's ranked ninth among all teams who started the playoff year.
Yeah.
Penalty kill's been worse. 78% on the penalty kill. That's ranked 11th of the teams who started the Stanley Cup playoffs.
It really is amazing how good they've been on the power play. And, you know, give Columbus credit for, you know, keeping that number down a little bit, even though it still tops in the playoffs. Columbus was really good in the first round against Tampa Bay on the power play and then against the Bruins. But in those other two rounds, it seemed like as soon as they went on the man advantage, they were going to score. And so that's one of the things for St. Louis is even more important. Don't take dumb penalties against the Bruins because guess what? They're probably going to be able to score on that. They've been so locked in.
By the way, do you know how many fighting majors these two teams have coming into this? Talking about the playoffs.
Fighting majors?
Uh-huh.
Like in the regular season?
Nope, in the playoffs.
Oh, zero?
Be none.
Oh, zero. Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, zero.
The power play opportunities you get, you earn.
Yeah.
They get them. They make the other team pay. And that brings us to...
Number one.
The single biggest reason why I think, beyond special teams,
right,
Tuukka Rask. He's got a 7-game winning streak going right now in the playoffs. During that 7-game win streak, his goals against average is 1.29. His save percentage is .961. But don't think he's been terrible for the playoffs. In fact, he's having the best playoff run of his career and better than Tim Thomas's run through the first three rounds of the playoffs. He's got a 12-5 record. His goals against average is 1.84. That's best in the NHL in the playoffs. His save percentage is .942. That's best in the NHL in the playoffs. Jordan Binnington's been a great story, and he's done a terrific job for them. But there is a bit of a mismatch here in the goaltending matchup.
So the two biggest questions there would be, does the long layoff affect Tuukka Rask?
Perfectly legitimate question, and I don't know the answer yet.
Binnington only played, 32 games in the regular season, but he had the best goals against, 1.89,
yep.
And he's obviously been very good in the playoffs. So can that keep up? Because we've seen, there are examples of goalies who don't necessarily go on to have great careers, have one really good season. They have a hot, really good stretch or whatever it is. And maybe that's what we're seeing with Binnington. And it doesn't matter if he's good next year or the year after. For a Bruins fan, it doesn't matter at all. But does he have 4, 5, 6, 7 more really good games in him? And is Tuukka Rask the guy from the Carolina series, the Columbus series, or... is he the guy from the first four games of the Toronto series where he wasn't bad by any means, but he looked beatable?
And by the way, I probably was more polite than I should have been.
Uh-oh.
When I said that, you know, all the top lines will cancel each other out. They
Bruins
won't.
Should have the advantage.
It's
there,
not
right?
Really that close.
Yeah, okay.
Braden Schenn, Jaden Schwartz, Vladimir Tarasenko is the top line for the St. Louis Blues. I'm sorry, but they are not even close to what you see with Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand, and David Pastrnak. They were the top line in the NHL all season long.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, they've only solidified that. If you look at the statistical breakdown, the stats geeks, they say Patrice Bergeron is an elite player in the NHL.
I would agree with the stats breakdown.
They say Brad Marchand is a number one left wing in the NHL.
So that'd be elite as well, right?
Jaden Schwartz, they say, is number 10.
He's a nice player.
David Pastrnak is second level, and okay. Vladimir Tarasenko is right there with him.
Yeah, that makes sense. If you want to say Tarasenko and Pastrnak are kind of a wash, fine. But then give me Bergeron and Marchand over those other guys, like, without question. You had 330-goal scorers on that line. You had a 100-point guy on that line.
Now, Jaden Schwartz had kind of a regular season.
Yeah, he scored a ton of goals.
To his credit, he has really picked it up in the playoffs. He has been a decidedly better player. But the Bruins' top line has been great all season. All regular season, all playoffs.
So, well, there's a little bit of a dip there in the playoffs, right? With Pastrnak and there.
Barely,
Well, no, but he got demoted. Like, they moved him down to the second line.
Pastrnak.
I'm saying Pastrnak specifically.
Yeah.
They moved him down, And even one of the goals that he had, remember, it was kind of like off the skate, you know, Coyle hit him off the skate. But I think he has rebounded. I don't know if he's regained his regular season form necessarily, but you go back to, it was not that long ago where he was whiffing on one-timers and just didn't look
breaking
like comfortable.
Breaking his stick when he didn't whiff.
And you're like, what is going on with this guy?
But we're wondering if his hand was still hurt.
That's what I thought.
Is he still having thumb issues?
Yeah, you're looking for some sort of an excuse for him, but I think he's been able to sort of weather that storm, and he's closer to the player that he was.
All right, just to recap my top 10 reasons why I think the Bruins have the advantage. Number 10 is passion. Because I think the Bruins fan base brings the passion.
Every time.
No disrespect to those very nice people in St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah, they're very nice.
On number 9, the Bruins' decided advantage in speed and especially on defense with McAvoy, Krug, Grizzlick, and Clifton. Number 8, the fact that basically Bruce Cassidy says, this is us. We're playing ourselves. He's if I think he's got a coaching advantage, and I do, that'll come up later on.
Yeah.
He's also seen this team. He knows exactly what to do against this team.
Yeah, for sure.
Number 7 is the Boston trifecta, which I think these players would dearly love to
That'd be pretty cool to be a part of that.
Number 6, the Bruins have already beaten Toronto, which was a faster team. Columbus, which was a bigger team, stronger team. St. Louis is
and Carolina, who was also a team.
A team. St. Louis is not as big as Columbus, not as fast as Toronto.
Right.
The Bruins are all set there. Number 5 is the matchup of these two teams' third lines. Bruins get an advantage because Coyle, Johansson, and Heinen have been great in the playoffs. Number 4 is the second line matchup. David Krejci's been great the whole playoffs. David Backes has the emotional lift that he's going to bring to this thing. The key for me is how Jake DeBrusk plays. Ryan O'Reilly has really not had a very good playoff season. I love him a lot. I really like what he brings to the table.
Right.
His playoff performance so far has been down a little bit. Number 3 is the coaching matchup. I give Cassidy the advantage over Craig Berube.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2 is special teams, and this isn't really very close.
No, that has been a real mismatch.
This is not close at all. And number 1 is Tuukka Rask. No disrespect meant to Jordan Binnington, who's been really good, but he hadn't been Tuukka Rask.
And that's another. Those are 10 good reasons, Dale, why the Bruins are going to win the Cup.
Come on, y'all! Shake that thing!
Is this 11?
This is my only reason. Because they got Bear Force 1 behind them. No, but I'll tell you what. Those reasons, hard to argue with any of them. This is a series where I would be shocked if the Bruins didn't win. Like, there are a lot of other, like, Bucks and Raptors, for example. If somebody said, I think the Raptors are going to win, somebody else said, I think the Bucks are going to win, got it. I think you can make a compelling argument for either team. This is not one of those series. I think the Bruins are significantly better. If you want to throw in home ice, great. They have the better goaltender. They're better on the power play. Their top end players are better. Their depth is better. Now, again, all of these matchups they don't have quite the advantage that they did against Carolina, but it's still there. And I know people are saying, well, St. Louis figured it out. They were a bad team early on. They would have had more points if they didn't have such a bad start. They fired their coach. They turned things around and they won. Yeah, that's fine. But the Western Conference also wasn't great. And we had callers earlier in the week suggesting, hey, when you make it to the Cup Final, those are the two best teams that are in the playoffs. Disagree. It's like for so many years, remember the Super Bowl?
If the two best teams are in the East,
they could be.
Only one of the best teams will be in the Stanley Cup Final.
Guess
out of
what?
The East.
Three of the maybe five best teams in hockey were in the same division this year. So it doesn't always work that way where you're going to get this dream matchup.
Right.
Like I go back to all the Super Bowls in the 90s. That was not the matchup. The NFC Championship game was the Super Bowl, and then you would have to play the Bills or the Chargers or one of these teams just to make it official. So I think the Blues won what was a weak Western Conference. They also had some of the same thing that the Bruins had, which was, oh, Nashville got eliminated, so we get to play Dallas now. Or, hey, now here comes San Jose, but three of their six best players are hurt in the series. So again, they beat the teams that were in front of them, just like the Bruins did. But nothing about the Blues really scares you. Like, there's no, oh man, they got Crosby, or they got Ovechkin, or they got Kucherov. Like, they don't have the top-end guys. I know Tarasenko is a consistent 30-goal scorer. I know Petrangelo is a really solid defenseman. Okay, that's kind of it. At least from the outside looking in, like I don't think that they have a whole lot of, they don't do a whole lot of things that would scare me as a Bruins fan.
So here's the other question, and we can discuss this with you guys as we go forward. The Bruins will beginning Monday, be in their third Stanley Cup final series in an 8-year period.
Mm-hmm.
We'll play the game out and say that, Rich, you're right, I'm right, they win a Stanley Cup.
Yes.
So two Stanley Cup championships in this 8-year period, three trips to the Stanley Cup final in this 8-year period. do you then have to consider them in the same breath as what the Chicago Blackhawks did, what the Pittsburgh Penguins did, what the LA Kings did?
Because I think you look at the NHL, and unlike the other sports, they don't have that one team that is completely dominated. They don't have the Warriors. They don't have the Patriots. Baseball, I guess. I mean, the Red Sox are on that short list, right? Like, maybe they don't necessarily have a team either. Maybe it's the Red Sox, though, the way that they've gone. And it depends on where you draw the line as where the year begins.
And for baseball, it's Red Sox and Giants.
I was going to say the Giants had a good run. But, I mean, Patriots and Warriors really stand out as, when you look back, you know, decades from now, you're like, oh, yeah, that run dominated by the Warriors. Maybe the Cavs won one here, or, you know, in the Patriots case, maybe the Eagles won one here, but it was dominated by them. In the NHL, the Penguins, if you go back 1 year prior to that deal, so give them 09.
Yeah.
So it's an 11-cup run. They've won three cups. The Blackhawks have won three cups. The Kings have won two cups. But they've also never lost a cup.
Right.
So that's how many appearances they have. So now this is already the Bruins' third appearance. So 2-1, I would already put them ahead of the Kings. And now you're right there with Chicago and Pittsburgh, in my mind.
If you win.
You have to win,
if you lose, nothing.
You have to win, but then you also allow yourself, and this is something we can get into as well, is how do they line up for the future? Like, what does this team look like? Is this a, hey, you better win it this year because, you know, who knows when you're going to be back? Or, hey, you win it this year, and you could be like the 16-17 Penguins that won back-to-back.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We'll talk to Jeff O'Neill of the NHL Network, and he'll give us his analysis of this whole thing coming up at 11:30. Noon 30 today, we've got our Week in Review with Kiefer Madness, but we'll talk with you guys coming up next. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Follow Dale on Twitter at Dale E. Arnold. This is Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I used to deliver the paper when I was a kid, and I cut it out and it was on my wall. And it was probably, by the time I took it down, I'm going to guess it was what, yellow? Isn't that the newspaper color goes? So there it was. And I had the hockey card, too. We had all those, it was when we had all the trophies behind them. I think there was like five of them or four of them. So that was what was on my wall. And maybe a Farrah Fawcett poster. Maybe.
I appreciate the honesty.
You hornball.
When it was like 12, I mean.
Yeah, that's pretty, oh, no, hey, that's fine. I had a Sarah Michelle Gellar poster. I think it was a Buffy poster in my room with Ricky Henderson, Sean Kemp, Grandmama.
Sean Kemp?
Oh, definitely had a Sean Kemp. I absolutely had a Sean Kemp poster. Probably several Bo Jacksons, like at every sport. I think I had a
we
poster.
We have to get the violinist out of the studio. We did the live version
right,
of Shinsuke's.
Thanks, Shinsuke. Yeah. I think I had a Bo Jackson. I think I had one of him like reading a book. Like Bo did everything. Bo knows baseball, Bo knows football, Bo knows reading, and I had all those.
Now, Keith, did your wall look like a ransom note? Like I used to like cut things out of like
No. I just had
straight posters.
It was all posters. It was huge posters because like the school would do like poster sales or whatever. And so every year you just add a few more. I think I had like a Barry Sanders, and it was just wall to wall posters. So I had to like put posters on the ceiling. Like I had like the D Brown dunk.
Excuse me?
On the ceiling.
You put posters, so like you would
I
look
ran
up.
Out of wall space, so it was just all.
So you're laying in bed staring up at Sean Kemp.
It might have been Damon Stoudemire. Might have been Mighty Mouse with the Toronto Raptors. Might have been the one staring me in the face when I woke up.
Yeah, I feel like around like my friends and I used to like cut the
that
Sports
looks like
Illustrated
a psychopath.
Oh,
room.
There's
no,
pictures.
No, I'm not doing that.
I'll try to look those up and get them for you.
Oh, that'd be great. Thanks. You don't have to. Though.
No, you don't have to. That'd be way creepy.
But Dale, what do you think about? So I think when you look at the top. Like dynasties or like mini dynasties because nobody is taking
nobody's
going to
be the Edmonton Oilers or the New York Islanders.
Exactly. Nobody is that. Although, I mean, the
Chicago
Blackhawks
was
won three,
as close
and then they just submarined.
Yeah.
Like they were just absolutely done. But it's also who the players are on all of those teams. So the Kings two cups, a little bit different. You know, Quick was so good in it. And then Justin Williams actually won the other Conn Smythe. He was so good in the playoffs for him. But so I think the two teams that have won three cups over the last 10, or maybe got a fudge it, maybe 11 seasons, is Crosby, Malkin, Kane, and Taves. Does Bergeron and Marchand belong on that kind of list.
They haven't done it for the same period of time.
Right.
Marchand has become that elite offensive player here over the last 3 or 4 years.
Exactly.
And, you know, quite frankly, in Bergeron's case, it wasn't until about 4, maybe 5 years ago that I started to think about him in the realm of Hall of Fame. I thought a really good player.
Right.
They'll retire his number in Boston. You know, they joke it within the team. They call him Mr. Perfect.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they like him a lot.
Yeah.
But it was really only over the last 3 or 4 years that I started to think, you know what? He's going to the Hall of Fame, too.
Do you think Bergeron, and neither one of these guys are done, but who has had a better career to this point, Patrice Bergeron or Jonathan Toews? Because I was looking at the numbers, and they're very similar.
It's really hard.
Like, there's more Selkies for Bergeron, but there's more Cups for Toews. He has, you know how they do, like, at the end of the season, they do the all-star teams.
Right.
And he has one of those, and Bergeron doesn't have any. The playoff numbers are very similar. More points per game in the regular season and in the playoffs for Toews, and the Cups might give me the slight edge, but I think those two are really close, right? I think I might lean Bergeron there. But again, three cups is hard to argue with. And when you're one of the best players on three cup-winning teams. And then I think, like, to your point, too, like, Crosby and Malkin were the most significant parts of three teams, whereas Marshawn...
And over an extended period of time,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, right. So those guys are probably a notch below. But then that leads into the next question, is next year, are we looking at this team saying, yeah, like, obviously... Crazy things happen. Tampa Bay gets bounced in the first round. But as far as teams are set up going into the 19-20 season, aren't they right there at the
top?
Yeah,
this team is going to have, the core of their team is under contract.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a couple of guys who, you know, you obviously have to account for who are restricted free agents. I can promise you they're going to be here.
Yeah, McAvoy, Carlo specifically. Those are the two biggest guys.
And they're going to be back.
And then Johansson is a free agent. He's a unrestricted free agent, so he's probably going to get some money somewhere because he's had a nice little playoff run here. Talented guy.
Yes.
He may be hard to retain. Coyle's got another year left, and then everybody's back. I mean, everybody's back. Even Halak's back, right?
I
believe he is. So if you have that goalie balance again next year, because I think that's been one of the kind of big reasons why Tuukka Rask has been as good as he has been in the playoffs, is he didn't have to play 60 games in the regular season.
It was the key.
Yeah.
If the Bruins go on and win the cup here over the next couple of weeks, they've already said this, you know, pretty realistically. One of the keys here has been the play of Yaroslav Halak.
Yeah.
The fact that Tuukka Rask has been able to be as fresh during the playoffs as he's been has made all the difference.
Yeah, so that is significant. So you'll have that same dynamic next year. Now, who knows if Tuukka will be as good in the playoffs next year as he is this year? Like, you'll have to wait and see. But I just think the way that they're set up, and obviously we've debated about Zdeno Chara a lot on this show, but the idea that he isn't your best defenseman is also great news. Like, McAvoy and Carlo have moved on in that regard. So I think top to bottom, again, Tampa Bay is going to bounce back. You know, some of these teams that lost in the first round, you know, Washington will probably be more refreshed after that long run. Pittsburgh's always a
factor. It was one of their key problems this year, was they just played a lot of hockey last year. By the way, if the Bruins go on and finish this thing off,
it's going to be the same problem.
It'll be a factor for them next year.
Yeah, no, it definitely will be. But they seem to be in a pretty good spot. And it's funny because just 2 years ago, I remember we were asking the question, are the Bruins wasting the prime years of Bergeron and Marchand? Just think about it. They were, you know, a team that was barely getting into the playoffs and losing in the first round. And you're saying, well, should they do something up? Should they really shake this thing up? But luckily, some of the young guys that they have brought in have performed really well. And now they're four games away from winning their second cup in 10 years.
Here are the unrestricted free agents for the Bruins after this season. Marcus Johansson is an unrestricted free agent
like
at the end
back,
of the year.
But
so would I.
Yeah.
Nola Chari.
Yes. Fine. If he comes back, great. If not, okay.
Steven Kampfer.
All right,
that's it.
That's amazing. Yeah,
the restricted free agents, as you said, are Brandon Carlo and Charlie McAvoy and Danton Heinen. Those are the restricted free agents.
Yeah, so you'd like all three of those back. I mean, and clearly it's a 1 and a 1A. McAvoy, Carlo, and then you're in pretty good shape.
So those are the things that we're talking about. As the Bruins had a grueling night of hockey last night at the Garden, where they had to have today off because, you know, you couldn't
Peter Solarik scored on Tuukka, so I'm a little worried.
No.
A little concerned.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll talk to Jeff O'Neill at the bottom of the hour at 11:30. We'll talk about where Patrice Bergeron ranks within the Boston sports pantheon, and we'll give you the opinion of the guy who should probably know him best. It's coming up next, Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.